From NPR News, this is special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Guy Raz. Newt Gingrich takes South Carolina, winning his first primary of the 2012 election season.
Mitt Romney finds himself in second place, but his supporters are convinced he's still the one to beat President Obama in the fall.
To me, Romney just seems a lot more poised than the rest of them.
Rick Santorum is running third in South Carolina after news that he actually won the Iowa caucuses earlier this month. His supporters are hoping that puts him in a good position later in the fall.
I voted for Rick Santorum. I mean, Mitt Romney's going to win. So I thought, who would I like to see be vice presidential candidate?
South Carolina has its say on who should challenge President Obama for the White House. It's special coverage from NPR News.
And let's go right to Romney headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina, where Mitt Romney just a few moments ago has congratulated Newt Gingrich for winning in South Carolina.
He is. He has enacted job-killing regulations. I will eliminate them. He passed Obamacare. I will repeal it. The president has adopted an appeasement strategy. He believes that America's role as leader of the world is a thing of the past. I believe in a strong America, and I believe that America must lead this nation, must lead this world, and be the leader of the free world, and the free world must lead the entire world. In recent weeks, the choice within our party has also come into stark focus. President Obama has no experience running a business and no experience running a state. Our party can't be led to victory by someone who also has never run a business and never run a state. Our president has divided the nation, engaged in class warfare, and attack the free enterprise system that has made America the economic envy of the world. We cannot defeat that president with a candidate who has joined in that very assault on free enterprise. When my opponents attack success and free enterprise, they're not only attacking me, they're attacking every person who dreams of a better future. He's attacking you. I will support you. I will help you have a better future. I'll make sure that America is a place of opportunity for all. I'm passionate about our economic liberty because I have witnessed our free enterprise system as it rewards the hard work of many and creates prosperity for all in this great country. And over the past few weeks, we've seen a frontal assault on free enterprise. We expected this from President Obama. We didn't anticipate some Republicans would join him. That's a mistake for our party and for our nation. Ours is the party of free enterprise and free markets and consumer choice. The Republican Party doesn't demonize prosperity. We celebrate success in our party. That's one of the big differences between our party and our president. He leads the party of big government. He believes in ever-expanding entitlement. He's wrong. We're right. And this is a battle we cannot lose. Those who pick up the weapons of the left today will find them turned against us tomorrow. That's the choice our party gives America. Or else we don't offer them any choice at all. And Americans, in my view, will demand a real choice in this campaign between those people who believe in prosperity and success and opportunity and those who believe in government. And I think they'll choose us. By the way, if President Obama thinks he can compare his record of job losses with my record of job creation, that's a battle we're going to win. And And if he thinks he can compare his record of crony capitalism with my record of free market success, that's a battle we can win.
You're listening to special coverage of the South Carolina primary on NPR News. And just now, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney essentially giving a concession speech. He has placed second in the South Carolina Republican presidential primary tonight with early returns and NPR projecting that former House Speaker Newt Gingrich will win or has won the South Carolina primary. We're turning now to NPR's political correspondent, Mara Liasson. Mara, we hear Romney there talking about President Obama, even though tonight he's in second place. I mean, does that still make sense at this point, or does he need to turn to his rivals?
Well, he did both in this speech. He started out really in the same mode he's been all along, as somebody who fully expects to be the nominee. He's had a general election strategy all along, focusing on the president. He plans to continue that in Florida next week. He's going to give two speeches, Tuesday morning and Wednesday, bookending Obama's State of the Union address. But he also turned his attention to Newt Gingrich, saying that the choice within our party can't be led by someone who's never run a business or a state and who engages in class warfare and assaults free enterprise.
And Mara, we're going to just pause for 1 second. You're listening to special coverage of the South Carolina primary from NPR News. Yes, Mara.
Oh.
If you could talk a little bit, as you said, Romney trying to play both parts of it here and saying he's going to continue to contest this primary.
Well, he's going to have to, and he's going to have to, and he took on Newt Gingrich directly. This is something he usually leaves to his surrogates, but he took him on directly, and he's going to probably have to do that in Florida. They are going to appear at two debates together. The question is, will his super PAC do the same thing to Gingrich in Iowa as in Florida, as they did in Iowa?
More interesting watching Romney's concession speech tonight. He says, those who pick up the weapons of the left will find them used against us tomorrow. Of course, a reference to the attacks that Newt Gingrich mounted against him for his work with Bain Capital. But at the same time, still going after President Obama, still somewhat sort of reluctant to really dig in.
You mean dig in for on Gingrich?
On Gingrich.
Oh, I think he's trying to do the same, doing both at the same time. The interesting thing is that there was a tremendous, furious assault on Newt Gingrich's picking up the weapons of the left. In other words, haven't we heard that all week long from the Republican establishment and from every Romney surrogate there was? Well, it didn't seem to bother the rock-ribbed free enterprise conservative voters of South Carolina. That's astounding. I mean, that's the most amazing thing that's happening in this race. The question, though, is, does this prolong the race for merely a week and a half or longer than that? We're going into Florida. It's not a grassroots state. It takes a lot of money on television. Mitt Romney's already spent $3 million on television ads. No one else has spent a penny on TV in Florida. Costs a lot of money. He's already up on the air in Nevada, which goes to the polls on February 4th. So we really are entering the non-grassroots portion of the Republican primary, where Romney has always felt he was well-positioned. His campaign has said, we're ready for the long haul. We'll battle it out in all 50 states. Newt Gingrich doesn't have an organization like that, although he's done pretty well just by the seat of his pants.
And we're looking at some more numbers coming in. Right now, it appears as if Newt Gingrich has about a 13 percentage point lead over Mitt Romney, with 13% of the precincts in South Carolina reporting. Pretty considerable lead. What does this mean for Florida? I mean, many voters in Florida, Mara, have already cast their ballots. Is that
yes, and Romney has worked hard to help them cast those early ballots, and that's what organization will buy you, an absentee ballot program. Gingrich doesn't have that. So that's what I'm saying. This could be a speed bump for Mitt Romney, or It could signal an improbable and unlikely coalescing of the conservative part of the party against him. I tend to think that Romney is still the likely nominee, but this is one heck of a setback. This is the first red state, by the way. This is the first red state to vote. He couldn't carry this red state. He's going into Florida, which is a swing state, a general election battleground. But it does raise questions about whether Romney has problems with the base and will have problems with the base if he is the nominee.
It makes sense now. You wonder why the Florida moved its primary up. Now, it's a pretty important primary.
Well, it always has been, but Mitt Romney wanted Florida moved up, and They're up, even though he's only going to get half the delegates in Florida, at least until the convention, when all of them will be returned to whoever's the nominee.
Mara, thanks so much. We'll be hearing from you throughout the night.
Joining us on the line is Representative Mick Mulvaney. He is a Republican who represents South Carolina's 5th District. Hello there, Representative.
Hey, how are you all tonight?
We're doing great. So tell us what happened in your state. Were there particular areas that went to Newt Gingrich that you didn't expect?
Well, I've actually not seen the geographic breakdown. I've seen some exit polling. The data that I've got from a couple counties around here show that Newt did extraordinarily well. It looks like he may finish first and Romney finishing second. Am I surprised? No, not really. Newt had really, really good debate performances Monday night in Myrtle Beach and then Thursday night again in Charleston, and with a huge number, and I mean literally huge number of undecided voters as late as this morning, I think the debate performances the last couple of days probably made the difference. My guess is that more than half the South Carolina voters went to the polls this morning without knowing who they were going to vote for when they left their house.
And were you one of them? Because originally you had endorsed Texas Governor Rick Perry. And which candidate do you favor now?
I am more than happy not to answer that question. I liked my guy. As I told folks, I was for Rick Perry, not against any particular candidate.
But you're the kind of voter people are wondering where they're going to go next. I mean, if they're not going to move towards a Rick Santorum, as apparently they did not tonight in South Carolina, where are they going to go? Can they coalesce around Newt Gingrich or
I was listening to your previous commentator, and they said, the questions were whether or not Romney was going to have difficulty rallying the base in a general. And the answer to that question is an unequivocal no. That's not the issue here. It's not a question of conservatives running away from Mitt Romney vis-a-vis Barack Obama. The question is, can he collect them when he's up against Santorum and Gingrich? This is not about, how little we like Mitt Romney. The question is, who do we like the most? And we think anybody can beat Barack Obama, but if Mitt Romney ends up being the nominee, then South Carolina absolutely we'll rally to that effort.
And lastly, Representative Mulvaney, are you ready for a long slog?
Listen, yes. And candidly, I think that's the best thing for the party. I don't buy into this thing about how it weakens the candidates. It makes them look worse in a general election. If Barack Obama proved anything in 2008, it is that a long, hard-fought primary against quality candidates will make you a better general election candidate. So I'm all for the competition. We talk as conservatives about believing in it from everything from, government to education to business. I think the same holds true for politics, and I would welcome a long, detailed, hard-fought battle for the Republican nomination.
Representative Mick Mulvaney from South Carolina's 5th District, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good night.
And on the line with us is NPR's Don Gagne. He's at the Santorum headquarters at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina. Rick Santorum, somebody we have not talked a lot about tonight. He won the endorsement of prominent conservatives. Something like 60% of South Carolina GOP primary voters are evangelicals. What happened to the Santorum campaign in South Carolina?
They just couldn't catch fire. And a lot of that was because of Newt Gingrich, just plain and simple. Newt Gingrich, being from Georgia, had a lot of friends here, could talk the Southern talk. Mm. He is a Southerner. Let's not forget that. But here's the other thing. The Santorum supporters, the very disappointed Santorum supporters I'm talking to here tonight at the Citadel in the ballroom here, are saying, hey, our guy had a great debate the other night, but after the first 4 minutes, when Newt Gingrich had that confrontation with the debate moderator John King from CNN about the question about his ex-wife's interview that was airing that night, there was just no getting past it. That was going to be the story. That was all the noise, and that was just the story of Santorum's week. He could, even with the news that he'd won Iowa.
Yeah, and that's a question, Don. I mean, I wonder if his supporters feel like he was robbed in a certain way. I mean, he won Iowa, yet he couldn't claim that victory until just a few days ago.
They actually had 7.5 hours to bask in the glory of the Iowa victory, because 2 days ago, the Iowa GOP said, okay, he's ahead by 34 votes, but those precincts were missing, so we're just calling it a tie. It wasn't until like midnight last night that they sent out another note saying, yes, Santorum was the winner. It did him no good. Now, it's not that he didn't get a bump out of Iowa. He did. He exceeded expectations and got a lot of coverage and a lot of attention because of it. But a lot of people here are saying, oh, what if? What if we had emerged from Iowa the winner? If we had taken away Mitt Romney's ability to claim that he was 2-0 in the first two, they're thinking they might have gotten a lot of the attention that has gone Newt Gingrich's way. So what if, what if, what if?
That's NPR's Don Gagne at the Rick Santorum headquarters in Charleston, South Carolina. Don, thanks.
Thank you.
And as we said, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney placed second in the South Carolina primary. He recently took the stage where he congratulated Newt Gingrich, who is projected to be the winner tonight. And then Mr. Romney attacked President Obama.
He leads the party of big government. He believes in ever-expanding entitlement. He's wrong. We're right. And this is a battle we cannot lose. Those who pick up the weapons of the left today will find them turned against us tomorrow. That's the choice our party gives America. Or else we don't offer them any choice at all. And Americans, in my view, will demand a real choice in this campaign between those people who believe in prosperity and success and opportunity and those who believe in government. And I think they'll choose us. By the way, if President Obama thinks he can compare his record of job losses with my record of job creation, that's a battle we're going to win. And if he thinks he can compare his record of crony capitalism with my record of free market success, that's a battle we can win. And let me be clear. If Republican leaders want to join this president in demonizing success and disparaging conservative values, then they're not going to be fit to be our nominee.
That's Governor Mitt Romney speaking just a few moments ago in South Carolina. Of course, Newt Gingrich has won that primary. Mara Liasson is here in the studio with us. Mara, what do you make right now of where this whole race heads toward?
Well, it goes to Florida. Which is a race where Romney is well-positioned. He's been on the ground there for a long time. He has a pretty sophisticated operation, an absentee ballot early voting operation. He's got a lot of money. He's already spent $3 million on television ads. No one else has spent a single penny. And Newt Gingrich has done amazingly well running a seat-of-your-pants campaign, kind of being his own strategist. He's lived pretty close, lived off the land, hasn't had a lot of money. He was outspent by more than 2-1 in South Carolina by Romney. Now, I don't know if that same formula works in Florida or not. Florida also isn't a super red state. It's a general election battleground state. It's a swing state. I think that Romney hopes that if he wins Florida, he gets back to the inevitability aura. He probably is well positioned in Nevada too. That's the next state up on February 4th. He has a very strong organization there. He's also up on the air, and there are a lot of Mormons there. So I still think that when you look at the long slog, it still favors Romney.
NPR's Mara Liasson. Mara, thanks.
Thank you.
And you're listening to special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Guy Raz. NPR is projecting that Newt Gingrich is the winner tonight. Mitt Romney takes second, and in the past half hour, the former Massachusetts governor greeted a cheering crowd in Columbia, South Carolina.
Florida is the next contest, and Mitt Romney spoke tonight not only about that primary, but about the man he still hopes to defeat in November.
President Obama likes to remind us that elections have consequences. Well, today the consequences are clear, and the stakes have never been higher. I've said this before, And I firmly believe that this election is a battle for the soul of America.
We're still waiting for some other candidates to come out and address their supporters. In the meantime, we're going to talk next to Congressman Joe Wilson, Republican from South Carolina's 2nd District, also a member of the Tea Party caucus in the House. Congressman Wilson, welcome to the program.
And Natalie, it's an honor to be with you.
You haven't endorsed anyone yet. Did any of the results tonight encourage you in any particular direction?
Well, I had a great day today. I visited all 5 counties of the new congressional district that I'll be representing. It was really exciting. I escorted the ambassador from the Slovak Republic, Peter Burian, and we were meeting with voters. And Natalie, what I saw is that the people that I represent, around 75%, and the ambassador saw this, are transplants in South Carolina from the Midwest and Northeast largely. And so South Carolina really is a composite of America. It was exciting as we went from precinct to precinct. We also had the Charge d'Affaires of Switzerland. And everywhere we went, we saw great enthusiasm by people for their candidates. And there was an obvious.
But Representative Wilson, I just want to stop you for a second. As I said, you haven't endorsed anyone yet. And you've got that great big Tea Party caucus in the House. What direction can these supporters go in, given that at this point, 3 different people have won 3 different state primaries?
And the Tea Party supporters that we saw are really divided, largely for Newt Gingrich, but also there was significant Tea Party support for Governor Romney, for Senator Santorum.
What's going on there? I mean, is there none of these candidates are embodying that sort of small government or can capture some of that energy? I mean, I'm sure someone wants the energy that was expended during that midterm election.
And Natalie, that's the uniqueness of the Tea Party movement. These are individual citizens who are very concerned about the future of their country, the indebtedness on the country for their children, their grandchildren. And so no one directs them. And it's really fascinating to me to see that you can't identify a particular leader because the people are really individually concerned about the future of the country.
Congressman, some people may know you from 2009 during President Barack Obama's presidential speech where you actually yelled, "You lie," at the president about the issue of health care. And do you see any of these candidates as being able to take on the president over that particular issue?
I am confident that the American people now, and the polling indicates that they know that the health care takeover will actually destroy jobs. NFIB says it will destroy 1.6 million jobs. It will not provide the services as presented. And so this is my agreement that evening, as I apologized to, of all people, Rahm Emanuel. And that our agreement was to discuss issues civilly, and that's what I've been doing. In my view, the civil discussion of the health care takeover of Obamacare is that it will not work. It will put the senior citizens of our country at risk. It will put health care of America at risk. It will increase taxes. It will destroy jobs.
Congressman Joe Wilson, Republican from South Carolina's 2nd District, thank you so much.
Well, Natalie, honor to be with you. Best wishes.
Let's check in now with our Ari Shapiro. He's at Mitt Romney's headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina. Ari, 30% of the precincts are reporting the results, Newt Gingrich, 40% to Mitt Romney's 26%. Is the Romney campaign, is it sort of stiff upper lip over there?
You know, they told me that from the very beginning when they saw Romney with this 10-15-point lead a week or two ago, they didn't think he was going to carry South Carolina by 10 or 15 points. They knew this was going to be close. They did not think it was going to be what it ended up being. This was a really sound drubbing for Mitt Romney. And when you break down the voter groups, Romney lost so many voters. I mean, like, he lost every income level except for the absolute highest, every education level except the absolute highest. He lost women. He lost men. He lost evangelicals. He lost Tea Partiers. He even lost to Newt Gingrich among people who said their most important issue was defeating President Obama. It's a really bad night for Mitt Romney. And
presumably, they're going to be taking a hard look at their strategy going ahead. That's NPR's Ari Shapiro at Mitt Romney's headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina. Ari, thanks.
Here in the studio with us as well is E.J. Dionne, Washington Post columnist and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and Matthew Continetti, contributing editor for the Weekly Standard. Matthew, let me start with you. Romney, it's not as though he's ever really done well in South Carolina. I mean, I know we're all talking about how this is such a drubbing, but is it that unexpected given the population here and how he's performed in the past?
Well, I think it's unexpected given what everyone expected just a week ago. And the truth is, Romney, just a few days ago, in the in the Real Clear Politics average polls, had a double-digit lead in South Carolina. And it vanished in the course of about 48 hours. We see from the exit polls, most of these South Carolina Republicans made their decision in very quickly, or rather, in the last 24 hours, last 48 hours, based on what they saw in the debates and the various messages coming from Gingrich. That would worry me if I were in Romney Central looking at the polls in Florida, where you could see a similar dynamic take place over the next 10 days.
EJ, any of these candidates actually positioned for a general election?
I think they all have problems in being positioned for the general election. But, I mean, it's really hard to understate how much of a shellacking this is for Romney, to use President Obama's term, after 2010. Romney is 15 points behind Newt Gingrich in the raw vote I'm looking at now. He's only 8 points ahead of Rick Santorum. I mean, this is a terrible showing. And I think we have a tendency to say it's all about ideology and not about other things. I think what Newt Gingrich did is he attacked Romney both as an out-of-touch rich guy, which is what was left over from those Bain attacks, which seemed to throw Romney himself off course. I think the Bain effect may have been on Romney. And at the same time, he's someone who's too liberal. When I was in South Carolina, it was really striking to run into a lot of voters who said, I can't vote for Romney. He's a liberal. Now, if you're a liberal, Romney isn't a liberal. But to a lot of these voters, he was. And I remember a voter in New Hampshire who said, he reminds me of John Kerry. And so this is going on inside the Republican electorate. Now, as Mara said earlier, Mara Liasson, Romney's got a lot going for him in Florida, but I think this is a really sobering night for Romney.
Thank you so much, EJ and Matthew Continetti, Matthew of the Washington Post, Matthew of the Weekly Standard, and EJ of the Washington Post. You're listening to special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary. I'm Guy Raz.
And I'm Audie Cornish.
Tonight, I want to congratulate, of course, Speaker Gingrich and my fellow Republicans on a hard-fought campaign here in South Carolina.
Mitt Romney concedes as Newt Gingrich takes first.
South Carolina has spoken. Now it's on to Florida. More special coverage ahead from NPR News. You're listening to special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary from NPR. I'm in the studio here with NPR's Ron Elving, our senior Washington editor. Ron, people are already looking to Florida, and I have to assume because South Carolina's really just opened up more questions, not answered anything.
Absolutely. South Carolina was, in some regard, a week ago, assumed to be on the way to closing the question of who was going to be the Republican nominee. Now, that's getting way ahead of ourselves, but that's where everybody was a week ago. They were saying Romney won Iowa. We now know he didn't. Rick Santorum has been certified the winner there in a big turnaround by the Iowa Republican Party. We knew he had won New Hampshire, and we knew he was coming in here with a big lead. A lot has happened in the last 7 days. And now what we're looking at is three different winners in those first three events and a huge surge for someone, Newt Gingrich, who had been kind of left for dead last summer and then kind of left for dead again at the end of 2011 when he disappeared in the polls in Iowa. He finished fourth there. He finished fourth or fifth, very close with Santorum in New Hampshire. Now he comes roaring back with just about a third of the votes counted. He's at 41%, huge win. Romney at 26%, Santorum down at 18%, Ron Paul at 13%. Again, that's with about a third of the vote counted.
And that's NPR's senior Washington editor, Ron Elving. Thanks so much.
Joining us now is NPR's Tamara Keith at the Ron at the Gingrich headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina. Forgive me. Tamara, I can't imagine the mood there is anything but joyous, excited, and so on and so forth.
Yes, people are very excited here. Lots of chanting. When Mitt Romney came on the television, they were singing "Na Na Goodbye." They are in a very good mood here, and obviously for good reason. Their man is winning, and apparently in a big way.
And winning in a big way. Any sign of former Speaker Gingrich? Any sense of when he may come out?
Well, we have seen his daughters around, so that's a sign. And they've started assembling people on the stage. So we could be getting relatively close. One interesting thing is that the campaign has sent out an email just a few minutes ago asking for supporters to make donations to help in Florida. They're calling it a two-day knockout money bomb. And already they are looking forward to Florida. And they need money. This campaign has been run on a shoestring at times.
Newt Gingrich appears not just to have won, but to have won big, Tamara. Probably, I suspect, even bigger than they expected.
Well, people I've been talking to said that, you know, they obviously a few days ago this didn't look like it would turn out this way, and it has. Though they also said that Newt Gingrich all along has believed. They say that he never doubted himself, and you know he has been saying that if he wins this, he will be the nominee. We'll see if that bold prediction holds true, but he is definitely one to make bold predictions.
That's NPR's Tamara Keith at the Gingrich headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina. Tamara, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to talk next to Ron Elving, Washington editor. Ron, we're talking about how big a lead that Newt Gingrich has. I'm going to put the same question to you that I put to Mara about, does this push other folks out of the race who say they're going to stick it out, like Santorum, like Ron Paul?
I don't think anything will push Ron Paul out of this race. He will be in it as long as they're having primaries and caucuses. He has said he is part of a movement. He is part of a cause. He doesn't even see this as personal or as a presidential bid on his part. He is getting issues before the public. He'll continue to do that all the way through to summer. However, the big question now is Rick Santorum. He has had one break after another handed to him the last week. We found out he was the official winner in Iowa, not just a dead heat sort of tie. We found out also that he was the choice of a large group of potent evangelical leaders who met in Texas last weekend, and they came out for him overwhelmingly. He was the clear supermajority favorite, and yet that didn't seem to do him any good in South Carolina, a state where 60% of the Republicans call themselves evangelicals. So maybe it's time for Rick Santorum to ask the big question, does he stay in or does he get out?
Ron, let me ask you about Florida, because as we just heard from Tamara, the Gingrich campaign is asking people for donations, a two-day blitz of fundraising. What are their prospects for Florida?
The prospects for Florida are great if you are a local television station or radio station, because they're going to get something like $10 or $15 million per candidate. The only question is how many candidates there will be.
You're listening to special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary from NPR News. Stay with us. We'll have more in a moment. From NPR News, this is special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary. I'm Guy Raz.
And I'm Audie Cornish. The results so far, NPR has projected Newt Gingrich as the winner, and Mitt Romney has taken second place. Rick Santorum appears to be third, with Texas Congressman Ron Paul coming in fourth.
And Congressman Paul addressed his supporters earlier this hour. He spoke of the attention his libertarian cause has attracted.
The evidence has become clear that the efforts by government is failing, and we can't depend on the government to take care of us from cradle to grave. We can't depend on the government on its efforts to promote and believe that we can police the world and go into nation building, because we're all gone broke.
That's Ron Paul, the fourth place finisher in South Carolina tonight. Joining us now on the line is Rick Tyler. He's a former spokesperson for Newt Gingrich. He now runs a pro-Gingrich super PAC called Winning Our Future. He's in Columbia, South Carolina. Rick Tyler, I suppose I should say congratulations to you.
Well, I'll accept him on behalf of Gingrich. Thank you.
So what do you make of this victory? Is this something that that you expected just a week ago?
Well, we did expect it in some ways, although we didn't expect this such a stunning victory and to have it be called so quickly. You know, South Carolina is a southern state. Newt is a southern legislator. They know Newt here in South Carolina, just like they knew Mitt Romney up in New Hampshire, although I would contend they didn't really know him. And, you know, Rick Santorum, you know, spent a year in Iowa and really won it the right way. And unfortunately for Mitt Romney, he actually lost Iowa from South Carolina, so... It was a huge and dramatic I've never seen anything like this in terms of a shift in momentum in such a short, compressed period of time.
Rick Tyler, one of the major issues in South Carolina was this documentary, this anti-Romney documentary, King of Bain, that was released by your super PAC, by Winning Our Future. Mitt Romney was angry about it, said there were many factual errors, essentially said it was fiction. He, in his speech tonight, said those who pick up the weapons of the left will find them used against us tomorrow, clearly a reference to that documentary. But do you think it had an impact?
I think it had a dramatic impact. And the documentary wasn't about an attack on capitalism, far from it. And I'm a capitalist, and Newt Gingrich is a capitalist. I mean, 11 million jobs were created under Speaker Gingrich. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 130% under Speaker Gingrich. NASDAQ went up 186%. It's sort of a little bit, sad that there's this arrogance that the idea that we called him out on his jobs claim, which is all this was, which shouldn't be surprising. I mean, Mitt Romney has claimed to be pro-life. He wasn't when his governor. He claimed to be, protector of the Second Amendment. He enforced the strictest gun laws in the country. He pretended to be for small businesses. He raised taxes on them, influenced the health care mandate. And so why should it be surprising when I say he didn't create jobs that that also didn't turn out to be true? And I think in particular it resonated in South Carolina because there's a company down here called GSI Steel. And, Romney and Bain ran up $531 million worth of debt in GSI Steel, charged, outrageous management fees. Loaded the company up with debt. It couldn't survive. They shorted the pension fund, $44 million. Taxpayers had to bail that out. Mm. Yet Bain still made $17 million on the deal. Now, that may be capitalism, and maybe that's legal. But just because you can do something, I'm not sure you should.
Rick Tyler, let me ask you about the super PAC that you are now running. You received a $5 million contribution from a wealthy Las Vegas entrepreneur just a few weeks ago. The Gingrich campaign now needs to mount a massive effort in Florida. Obviously, you cannot coordinate with them in any way. What do you plan to do? What does Winning Our Future plan to do in Florida?
Well, we have a daunting challenge of raising a massive amount of money to be competitive, but I think it'll be slightly simpler than people expect. I mean, Mitt Romney really is the Charlie Crist candidate of Florida, and people in Florida rejected Charlie Crist, and if Mitt Romney has hired Charlie Crist's team in Florida. Consistently for the last year, Mitt Romney has gotten a little over 25% of the vote, and people have gone up and down, which tells me that 75% of the people don't want Mitt Romney, that the Republican Party nominating Mitt Romney is a little like, getting a wild cat into a trash can. And so I just intend to align Newt Gingrich with the 75%.
That's Rick Tyler. He's a former spokesman for Newt Gingrich. He now runs a pro-Gingrich super PAC called Winning Our Future. He was on the line with me from Columbia, South Carolina. Rick, thanks.
Thanks. Glad to do it.
Also in South Carolina, but reaching us by phone from Greenville, is Danielle Vinson. She is a political science professor at Furman University. Danielle, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Now, Newt Gingrich at the beginning of the primary sort of talked about Republicans shouldn't turn on each other. But, of course, it was South Carolina where he finally went negative. So did it work?
Yeah, it seems to have. I think, firing back at Romney, it wasn't hard to raise doubts in South Carolina about Romney because even the people backing Romney were a little bit doubtful about Romney. So it made it a just sort of reinforced some concerns that were already there among a lot of the state's electorate.
And at the same time, what about the evangelical vote that Rick Santorum thought that he might be able to grab hold of, or even Ron Paul, who's had some support in the sort of military areas where there's slightly more moderate or voters with libertarian ideas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what ended up happening this week, Gingrich had two really good debates for South Carolina. He hit on some issues that really ignited some of the conservatives and some of the Tea Party people. And folks in South Carolina don't want to waste their vote on someone that has no chance. And when Gingrich did so well, especially in that first debate this week, I think a lot of folks that had been toying with Santorum decided Gingrich actually might be the better fighter, and that's the direction they went. And it seemed that he really ignited a lot of the Tea Party people who like their candidates to sort of jump in there and be tougher. And Santorum's a bit milder than that, and I just don't think it played as well with South Carolinians who were trying to figure out who they could vote for other than Romney.
Do you have any sense for South Carolina? Does this kind of shore up the reputation of picking the winner or not? It seems like they kind of were responding to whoever the media was interested in. South Carolina seemed to lean the other way.
Yeah. I'm going to be really surprised if Gingrich manages to pull this out and win the nomination, just because I am not sure that the themes that he hit on that played so well in South Carolina are going to play very well beyond the Southeast. I think he could run into some problems in the Midwest and particularly in the Northeast and out West. South Carolina may have broken its streak this week, but then again, Gingrich is a very savvy campaigner, as we have seen, so... I will not be placing bets just yet.
That's Danielle Vinson. She's a political science professor at Furman University. She talked to us from Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Andrew Kohut is the president of the Pew Research Center. He's in the studio with us. Andy, what more are we finding out about what South Carolina voters, what mattered to them tonight?
Well, what mattered to them was the ability of the candidate who can best beat Obama, and that was 45% said that, and those people voted overwhelmingly for Newt Gingrich, not Romney, who's won all of the electability contests. And, you know, this is exit poll is very, very good for Gingrich, as it would be given his victory. But there are some warning signs in here for Gingrich looking forward. He didn't run particularly well among the people who said they were moderates or liberals. About a third of Carolina, South Carolina, more in other states. In fact, he trails Romney 34-31. Among the people who said they were looking for moral character, 5% selected Newt Gingrich, 33%. 35% rather, Santorum. And there's a gender issue for Gingrich. 42% of men said they voted for him, but only 36% of the women sampled. So there's some issues for Gingrich under this victory that has to be taken into consideration.
Hey, Andy Kohut's stand by for a moment. We've got Bill Burton on the line, I believe. He's a senior strategist with Priorities USA, former deputy White House press secretary. Bill Burton, are you there?
Good evening.
Good evening. From your perspective, from a Democratic perspective, how do you characterize the results tonight?
Well, for starters, Mitt Romney's a disaster. The fact that Newt Gingrich was able to come from a place where everybody had considered him to be completely dead, to outspend Newt Gingrich 2-1 between his campaign and his super PAC in South Carolina, and still lose so decisively to Newt Gingrich, I mean, you have to wonder, you know, what is it about this field that makes Republicans so unsteady with Mitt Romney?
At the same time, Mr. Burton, this is Audie Cornish. You know, President Obama has joked that this primary is like Survivor, and he's just sort of waiting for people to get knocked out one at a time. But what does it mean for the Democratic strategy when it's swinging wildly from candidate to candidate who the potential rival could be?
Well, you know, on the one hand, if Mitt Romney were able to wrap up the nomination very quickly, it would be an advantage in the sense that...
Is that wishful thinking, Bill? I mean, you're talking about Mitt, but it's like every other candidate seems to be making gains here.
Well, it's wishful thinking for Mitt Romney, no doubt, right now, especially considering that Newt Gingrich beat him tonight. If he'd wrapped up quickly, it'd be he'd probably like that very much because it secures his spot in the nomination. But, you know, for somebody who takes a long time to really get the nomination, like President Obama in 2008, there is an advantage to going state by state and building up a grassroots organization where you've got volunteers, you've got fundraisers, you've got people who are going to be helping your campaign all throughout the election. You know, there's an advantage either way, but right now it just seems so messy, and Republicans seem so hesitant to support Mitt Romney you wonder how much enthusiasm is really going to be there for him in the fall.
At the same time, we've seen independent voters definitely looking over to the Republican side of things. And what, again, can President Obama do? What's a Democratic strategy to recapture their attention?
Well, you know, there's only one competitive presidential primary right now. And so any independent voters who want to get involved, there's only one place for them to get involved right now, and that's the Republican side. You know, for President Obama, for the Democrats, I think this is going to come down to who's got the vision for the country that makes the best sense going into 2013. Is it President Obama or is it Mitt Romney or whomever the Republican nominee is going to be? And I think that's what the choice is going to be.
If it's
that's
a candidate like, say, Newt Gingrich, who is dying to get on a stage with President Obama, is that trouble for him? Somebody who can really, you know, talk the talk right back to him?
Well, I don't know that Newt Gingrich is really the right messenger for the Republican message or for whatever the opposition message is going to be in the fall. I don't think that he necessarily has an ability that's going to make it any more competitive for Republicans in the coming year.
That's Bill Burton, senior strategist for Priorities USA, former White House press secretary, deputy secretary. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Guy Raz. Results from South Carolina show Newt Gingrich is tonight's victor. That means in three Republican nominating contests, three different candidates have won.
Rick Santorum won the squeaker in Iowa, and Mitt Romney handily took New Hampshire.
Governor Romney rallied his supporters tonight with a message for both President Obama and his Republican opponents.
Over the past few weeks, we've seen a frontal assault on free enterprise. We expected this from President Obama. We didn't anticipate some Republicans would join him. That's a mistake for our party and for our nation. Ours is the party of free enterprise and free markets and consumer choice.
Mitt Romney speaking near the second-place finisher. Rick Santorum appears to have taken third tonight, and he just spoke with his supporters.
What's fundamentally at stake in this country is freedom. The government taking and robbing every man, woman, and child, every institution that seeks to do good in our society, they continue to rob it of their freedom and try to control everything from the top down.
And we're still waiting to hear from the victor, Newt Gingrich.
And we're going to talk next to NPR's Don Gagne. He is at the headquarters for Rick Santorum at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina. Hi there, Don.
Hey, Senator Santorum just wrapped up. I think he's wrapped up, unless he comes back to the mic. You can hear the crowd.
Don, can you give us a sense of sort of what were the main points that Rick Santorum had to say for himself tonight in his finish?
He did not express any disappointment. He said, as he took the microphone, three states, three winners. Isn't this exciting? So he does carry on from here. Now, he has seen others rise and fall above him. He's seen Newt Gingrich rise and fall in the past. So clearly, he hopes that happens again. He hopes he is the beneficiary of that. He hopes he is ultimately the last one standing to go up against Mitt Romney. But he said that the party needs to stand for those socially conservative themes, opposing abortion, opposing gay marriage, that he has stood up for. He said that's what this party needs to be. That's what their nominee needs to be. And it was a small crowd here, but as you can hear, very enthusiastic.
At the same time, Don, does this take the wind out of Santorum's sails at all? I mean, you had Gingrich doing well among the voting groups that Rick Santorum thought he would pick up, especially after Texas Governor Rick Perry left the race.
It's certainly a disappointment. This is a place where they thought they had an opportunity. There are so many evangelical voters here. That is Rick Santorum's base. He lost them to Newt Gingrich. Now, they say it's because Newt Gingrich is a Southerner. They say it's because Newt Gingrich benefited from those very strong debate performances that got everybody talking, the way Gingrich took on the media and took on Mitt Romney. They kind of feel like Santorum's message got lost in the shuffle here. So they've got to figure out some way to cut through as they go on to Florida next.
Well, there certainly, it sounds like everyone's putting on a brave face. It's nice and loud where you are there at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina. NPR's Don Gagne, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to Scott Huffman. He's a political analyst and a political science professor at Winthrop University. He joins us on the line from Rock Hill, South Carolina. Scott Huffman, let me ask you about the influence of evangelical voters. How crucial were they tonight?
Well, they're very important, but they're often highly misunderstood. Huckabee, you know, was able to appeal to evangelicals quite easily. But a lot of times when people are talking about evangelical voters, they're really kind of discussing people that are actually fundamentalist. An evangelical is somebody who answers a poll question and says, I'm a born-again or evangelical Christian. But a fundamentalist would answer yes to that question, say the Bible is the literal word of God and without error, and say that they've witnessed to somebody in the last year. Those people don't turn out because they're less political, because they believe they're in this world but not of this world. So the voters who turn out in large numbers, who are still evangelicals, are influenced by their religious beliefs, but not singularly driven by them. And all the folks who said an evangelical won't support Newt Gingrich because of his marriages and because of his past forget that a central tenet of evangelicalism is redemption. And Newt was able to use that to make inroads. But, you know, really, even as late as the middle of last week, people were saying, wow, Romney has been beaten up. He's been, but he may still pull it off. A couple of great debate performances had the people who were wavering between their head and their gut go with their gut, and Gingrich really appealed to their passion and their anger. And, you know, evangelical beliefs were important, but they, you know, clearly weren't an overriding factor.
Scott, what about Rick Santorum? I mean, why do you think he wasn't able to sort of benefit from that evangelical vote?
Well, and if evangelicals were truly more like the fundamentalists that people seem to confuse them with, he would have done probably a little better. But this seemed like a natural base for Santorum. Santorum was, you know, the social conservative. He spoke directly to issues of, you know, same-sex marriage and abortion. He had all the social conservative issues, but he just didn't fire the people up. You know, they were impressed by his win, or, you know, at the time they thought it was just a great showing in Iowa. Now it turns out it's a win. But, you know, I have to say, the Santorum people do have a point in that a little bit of his good debate performance got overshadowed by Newt Gingrich's first 5 minutes. I was at the debate in Charleston, and other than the first 5 minutes, Newt Gingrich took quite a few body blows, many at the hands of Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum did good in his exchanges with Newt Gingrich, but by that time, most of the people who were only going to watch, you know, part of the debate had tuned out, and they clearly remembered and were fired up by Gingrich's answer to John King's first question.
That's Scott Huffman. He is a political science professor at Winthrop University. He joined us on the line from Rock Hill, South Carolina. Scott, thanks.
Thank you.
Here in the studio with us is NPR's Mara Liasson, our national political correspondent. Mara, we heard from former White House Deputy Press Secretary Bill Burton talking about the Democratic strategy. Is there anything from these results that the Obama reelection campaign could be eyeing for good or bad?
Oh, I think that the Obama reelection campaign took a lot of heart from what happened this week. I mean, don't forget, the week started with a big new poll about President Obama doing pretty poorly with independent voters, starting off this election year in a weak position with voters. But you've got to look at – they look at what happened to the Republicans. They see Newt Gingrich making the exact same kind of critiques of Romney's practices as a private equity investor. They're going to certainly pick up on that. They might even rerun some of Gingrich's attacks. I think there are a lot of things that are coming out of this Republican primary that you're going to hear Barack Obama say. He would have said it anyway, but this gives him a nice kind of appetizer to the main course he's going to deliver up in the fall.
And we just have 30 seconds left, Mara, but I have to ask, you know, Burton made the point that Obama benefited from a long primary race, and could that be the same thing here?
You know, that's – people are really noodling about that, and you can argue it round or you can argue it flat. There is no doubt that Barack Obama benefited from it. Don't forget, he battled Hillary Clinton, a giant inside the Democratic Party. So he benefited from being seen as a giant killer. I don't know if Mitt Romney benefits from battling Newt Gingrich for months and months and months.
You can get more analysis and more information about the results in South Carolina at our website, npr.org. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News.